Hi, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of the IAC, the Infrastructure as Code podcast. We're going to talk about infrastructure as code today, as always. And today, we have an amazing guest from an amazing company that built amazing IAC tools. I have Zach Goldberg, the CTO of Gruntwork. Hi, Zach. Nice meeting you.
Hey, hi. Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
So, Zach, for those who are not aware of Gruntwork, tell us a little bit about Gruntwork and what you do in this company.
Yeah, so Gruntwork has been around for about 8 years. The genesis of the company was there's a lot of great IAC tools out there, but applying them in the real world often encounters friction, either because edge cases aren't handled or there's issues at scale. And so the entire history of the company has been identifying these kinds of problems and developing solutions that allow infrastructure as code to work in practice in the enterprise. And so you're probably familiar with TerraGrunt, which is a tool that sits on top of Terraform OpenTofu to facilitate keeping code dry, adding additional features and functionality. We're also known, of course, for TerraTest. We've recently open sourced a tool called Boilerplate, and our primary proprietary product is a platform we call DevOps Foundations, which is an end-to-end solution for infrastructure as code at enterprise.
Awesome, awesome. So yeah, you've mentioned TerraGrunt, and a lot of folks are familiar with TerraGrunt and then realize, there is a company named Gruntwork behind TerraGrunt. Tell us a bit about TerraGrunt, what it does that Terraform and OpenTofu don't do.
Yeah, so you know, the origin story, Jim Brickman was using Terraform, ran into issues. I believe the story is there was a conversation with the community around Terraform at the time, however many years ago, about, you know, implementing, you know, additional abstractions, the ability to have dynamic providers, things like this, and dynamic provider definitions. And for whatever reason, HashiCorp didn't have those items on the roadmap. And so TerraGrunt was initially, you know, a solution to a pain point, right? Mm-hmm. Terraform doesn't do this. And so we're going to have this new tool that does it on top. And the history of TerraGrunt has been the community saying, hey, we'd like to do XYZ. Terraform does some of those things, and the ones that it doesn't, it's been an opportunity for TerraGrunt to pick up. So nowadays, the way I think of it, my mental model is Tofu and Terraform are the individual tools for deploying and understanding IAC. And TerraGrunt is how you apply patterns, opinionated patterns, for that IAC to help it scale at the enterprise. You know, HCL, the HashiCorp configuration language, is sort of famously verbose, and there's good reasons for that. And TerraGrunt is a solution to help manage that verbosity and allow for centralized management, centralized governance, adding layers of abstraction on top of that, so that many developers can collaborate. You can have a central platform team that interfaces in a healthy way with an app team, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and from my experience, when you use TerraGrunt, you have two ways of how to actually execute and apply the cloud resources. One is TerraGrunt Run, which is more equivalent to the Terraform apply or the Tofu apply. But I think the more powerful and relevant for TerraGrunt is the run all option. Is that right to say?
Yeah. So TerraGrunt also does allow, one of its key ideas is to help you keep your state files small, right? And so we call these units nowadays, TerraGrunt units, where you have sort of an individual piece of infrastructure. It's your single database, a single piece of your network. And you might want that piece of infrastructure to be dependent, perhaps, on some other piece of infrastructure that lives in another state file. And so TerraGrunt, via this run all capability that you're discussing, allows you to declare these dependencies. And then in a single command, you can execute both Terraform plans or both Tofu plans, and they can interact. And we build a DAG, we build a graph, basically, that connects these modules together. So we do things in order. We know where all the outputs are. We plumb them into the inputs appropriately. And TerraGrunt handles that all at once. So that not only gives you this sort of dependency capability, it also enables concurrency. And so with a single command, you can do, five things at once, and it's all grouped nicely. I'll call out, as a result of actually community feedback, we have a feature that's called provider caching. And so we have customers that have hundreds and hundreds of these TerraGrunt units, each of which using many different providers. And if you do a Terragrunt run all against 500 units, that's a significant download of providers because it's done redundantly for every single unit. So imagine downloading the AWS provider 500 times. And so we have a feature that's in beta that we do encourage users to test, and we're looking for feedback that caches that. And so it only gets downloaded once. And we've seen this be a pretty dramatic speed up for larger deployments.
That's awesome. We are the same, by the way, in NF0, and we implemented also some kind of a caching mechanism internally, so we don't really need to download these providers.
It's a tricky problem, right?
It's a tricky, but once you have some layer in between, you're able to manage that. And so that totally makes sense. What is the roadmap of Terragrunt? If we talk again in a year, in 2 years, where do you think Terragrunt will be at that point of time?
Yeah, so one of the more common pain points and things we see, again, feedback in the community, as well as, you know, pain points using Terragrunt internally and with Gruntworks customers, is there's a limit to the amount of abstraction you get. Even with Terragrunt, you still end up repeating, either you have the same or highly similar Terragrunt.hcl files spread across a code base, right? So let me make this more concrete. With Terragrunt, you can have a single definition of, say, your network, your preferred networking stack. And then if you want to deploy that to dev stage prod, you then have three different Terragrunt HCL files, which each reference that singular network that tweaks maybe just the name or the account that it's going to, or one or two very small configuration changes. And so now you have this grouping of three different Terragrunt HCL files, which, you know, the logically are combined, right? They represent the same thing just in three different environments. Yep. And if you do that across many different environments, or you have different, if you're a single tenant system and you're doing that for multiple customers, you can end up with tons and tons of these really small Terragrunt HCL files, which the developer knows logically belong as groups, but there's no grouping mechanism within the code. And so there's actually an open RFC on the Terragrunt repository for this concept that we call Terragrunt stacks.
I have to interrupt you for a second and compliment, please, you know, this project on how it's working with the community. The fact that you're now describing a challenge and thinking what to do, and in the same time saying, "Hey, we have an RFC and looking for feedback from the community." That's, I think, the ideal way of doing the right thing. So sorry for interrupting. I just wanted to mention this is really impressive.
No, we take great pride in the open source community, and we try our best to be good members of that community. Terragrunt is, you know, Gruntwork pays full-time staff to work on the product, but we don't see it as ours. It is ultimately a community tool. And so, you know, the direction that Terragrunt goes is informed by our use case, but as well as what everybody else is using it. And candidly, we get a lot of great ideas from the community. People use the tool in very interesting ways, and, you know, we want to enable that. You know, just to close out the thought on stacks, so there's an RFC on how stacks would work, and that would allow you to declare these groupings. And the net effect would be you can define, this is my dev stage prod, in a single place, in a single file, as opposed to having lots of small Terragrunt HCL files across your code base. So that's one example. And there's a couple of other bits of polish that we're looking for that sort of help with these additional abstractions. The other use case that's really interesting to us is we want to empower platform teams, right? A central platform team wants to have governance over how modules work. And so you've probably seen that we released recently this idea of Terragrunt Scaffold and Terragrunt Catalog. And so there's some more stuff coming down that way to enable people to have polished catalogs that make it easy for developers to self-service their Terraform and Terragrunt infrastructure as code.
Like with something like Backstage and IDP in the front end?
Yeah, it's akin to what the value Backstage offers. It's a smaller component, of course. Backstage is a much larger platform. But very specifically within IAC, this idea of a module catalog for Terraform is something we're actively polishing within the Terragrunt ecosystem.
That's awesome. Let's talk about another amazing project out of Gruntwork that helps with the quality of your infrastructure. And this project is called Terra Test. Can you share more about the history, the present, and the future of Terra Test?
Yeah, so, you know, so a lot of this is a bit before my time with Gruntwork, but from what I understand, you know, Terraform and Tofu Test didn't exist until relatively recently, and so Terra Test was written quite a while ago. the idea is to actually do integration tests of your IAC, right? You write a module that represents a Kubernetes cluster. Wouldn't it be nice if I could go spin up that Kubernetes cluster and validate that it works, right? That there are endpoints that I can talk to, that the networking is working, the secrets are in the right place, so on and so forth. So TerraTest was is a system to help you do that. Built into Tofu and OpenTofu and of course Terraform as well is this, you know, a test module. It doesn't have a fancy name. It's just the test module. It's a highly overlapping feature set. And in fact, mm-hmm. we think that the community, that Terraform and OpenTofu have a very great implementation. There's things that TerraTest could improve based on that. There's some features that I think are still unique to TerraTest. But given that, you know, if we zoom back out to what I was talking about earlier with Terra Grunt, the impetus was there are things that were not going to be done in the upstream product. HashiCorp had said, no, this is not on our roadmap. And so we saw the opportunity to go build that. If there are things that we've built that are in the core product, it doesn't really make sense for us to maintain a fork just for the sake of maintaining something different, right? We want to build value in the community as a whole. And so we do see that the test tool that's built into Terraform and OpenTofu nowadays is very powerful. And we're actively looking at, does it make sense to continue to develop a separate test tool? Or is that effort better spent upstream into the tool? So that's an ongoing conversation that we're having nowadays. And, you know, the goal, of course, like I said, we want what's best for the community at large and to push, you know, IAC forward to a more mature state.
That's fascinating. It shows that although some things take time, the world itself is dynamic, and some decisions that were that made sense several years ago need to be reevaluated and consider what we do from now. And talking about changes and how the world is dynamic, so 4.5 months ago, there was the GA of OpenTofu 1.6, later on 1.7 with state encryption and other things, but back to 1.6, it was the first stable release of OpenTofu. And a small disclaimer, both myself and NF0 and Groundwork are great partners within the OpenTofu project that is managed by the Linux Foundation. Let's hear your point of view of what you think of OpenTofu, what you think Groundwork is contributing to this project from your experience and knowledge.
Yeah, we're obviously huge supporters of OpenTofu, and we believe there's a very strong future in the platform. I get asked from time to time, you know, why should I use OpenTofu? Right. And my answer to that question is, well, let's imagine for a second that you hadn't heard of Terraform before, right? You're Yep. new to infrastructure as code, and you're doing research, and you find that there's two different tools, highly, highly similar, 99.999% intercompatible with each other. There's a proprietary one run by this company called HashiCorp, which was just acquired by IBM. The acquisition is still ongoing. And there's an open source one backed by the Linux Foundation that has a vibrant community that is actively engaged and with a public roadmap and thousands and thousands and thousands of stars on GitHub that has a cadre of companies. 21,000 stars. Goodness. That must put it in the top echelons, the top 1% of all projects, something like that. But to finish the comparison, you know, one that's managed by, let's just for the sake of argument, say IBM, and the other that's managed by a diverse community completely committed to open source. That's your choice, right? You've never heard of either platform before. Which one are you going to choose as a developer at an enterprise, a small project, a big project? Yeah, if your company has relationships with IBM and existing contracts, I could see, you know, that being very valuable. But if you don't, and you're interested in open source, and that's something that, you know, philosophically aligns with yourself or your organization, it seems like a no-brainer, right? Of course you'd go with OpenTofu. Go ahead.
I have to interrupt you again. Apologize for that. Let's take this exact conversation 5 years ago, but instead of talking about Terraform and OpenTofu, let's talk about CloudFormation and Terraform. I think what you just said is exactly what brought Terraform its success. Because if you're using AWS CloudFormation, yeah, it's valid, it's working, but it's backed by AWS to their goals. On the other hand, you have an amazing open source tool that at that time was very much involved with the community. Although it didn't belong to a foundation, it acted pretty similarly to a project that gets a lot of influence from the community, working with the community. And in my opinion, the reason that Terraform became so successful and took things like CloudFormation and Azure ARM templates, besides the fact it's multi-cloud, I think just the fact of being open source and progressing in the right direction with a solid foundation made it the success it is now. And now, 5 years later, you're talking about two different tools, Terraform versus OpenTofu, in a very similar argument. Is that a good analogy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at the grand arc of successful technologies over the past 30 years since the advent of the internet, time and time again, you see these open source tools that perhaps have a benevolent dictator, a company initially like something like HashiCorp, that they had a selfish interest in creating the tool, but they made the tool open source. They were involved with the community. And as a result of those interactions, you build a robust ecosystem. There's a lot of edge cases. There's many different ways in which these tools get used. And if it's only one company dictating the roadmap or one user dictating the roadmap, you miss out on all that vibrancy, and which makes it useful for a large number of people. And so I really do completely agree. The open source nature of OpenTofu does sort of guarantee that it will continue to grow in a direction that makes sense for the larger community, as opposed to growing in the direction that makes sense for its single owner.
So let me share another data point from AWS. So a couple of months ago, a company named Redis changed their license, and very quickly, several big companies, including AWS, Google, and Oracle, together with the Linux Foundation, created a project called Valkey, which is similar to what Terraform and OpenTofu, Redis and Valkey. Now, not sure if you're aware of it, Zach, but AWS at that time, I'm talking about April 4th, 2024, so less than 2 months ago, it released a blog about why AWS supports Valkey. And within that blog, they mention OpenTofu. And what they say, and I quote, open source, so I'm quoting from an AWS blog, open source Terraform now lives on as OpenTofu, issuing its first stable release in January as vendor-neutral, community-led project. The project is undergoing rapid development on new features, attracting new contributors, and adoption is growing. We hope that the Valkey project follows a similar trajectory. End of quote, AWS. What do you think about this quote?
I think it's a testament to the really hardworking people who've committed time and effort into OpenTofu, whether it's the developers, the companies that have committed their resources, the folks who put together the website, the Linux Foundation's generous support. It really is a model for what great things can happen when the community comes together. There was a world where the community decided to fork OpenTofu. Nobody decided to put effort into it, and it stagnated. And now we're all worse off. But that's not what happened, thankfully. And I think it's really wonderful and a great thing for DevOps as a whole that we do have this group of companies, that we have these people who are so smart and engaged pushing OpenTofu forwards. And I feel really confident that there's a vibrant future here.
And I think one of the reasons, in my opinion, that OpenTofu is so successful is that knowledgeable people and people that have a lot of experience and attention to community, such as you, Zach, personally, I want to thank you for being so involved in the OpenTofu project. Disclaimer for those who don't know, Zach is one of the five technical steering committee members of this OpenTofu project. And thanks to his knowledge that you've heard now and his approach, I think we'll make OpenTofu even more successful. And I think one of the great things, besides the GitHub stars and the adoption of users with OpenTofu, is that more and more vendors and projects realize the value of OpenTofu, open source, community driven, and we barely talked about the added innovation that OpenTofu already has. I'm extremely proud of 1.7 version that included the long-awaited state encryption. I remember your Jim Brickman, once we announced the OpenTF, later Open Tofu initiative, did a POC and shared that on his LinkedIn of state encryption. And that post, I think, got 200,000 views or something like that. People were waiting for state encryption for so long. And now in 1.7, it's implemented. So I think new innovation, open source, and the user's adoption is the way to win, or the way to be successful in a project. And another thing that I think signals of what OpenTofu is achieving is the testimony of vendors adopting in their tools OpenTofu. And just recently, on May 8th, Oracle announced that their e-business suite is switching from Terraform to OpenTofu. So I'm thinking about all of the Oracle Enterprise customers that are using Terraform, and that maybe at 1.9, there's going to be a new feature of Terraform that the community decides that is not that crucial to implement in OpenTofu. So there might be a feature in Terraform that would not be implemented in OpenTofu later on. And then this Oracle customer, should they use this new feature? Because the Oracle product itself supports OpenTofu. So that's the potential new capabilities in Terraform. We'll now have some concerns of its users, even if they're using enterprise products such as the Oracle Business Suite. So I think this is yet another important data point to realize where the world is going and the success of OpenTofu so far. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this move by Oracle and other companies, and how do you think it's going to affect the success of this project?
Yeah, I mean, first off, we're very grateful and very happy to see the community at large adopting OpenTofu, right? It's not just Oracle. We've seen Grafana made a big publish recently. Yep. It seems like every day somebody is forwarding me an article of some company announcing or in some way, shape, or form demonstrating that they've migrated from Terraform to OpenTofu.
For sure.
I think it's a common concern. People ask, well, what if there's a feature in Terraform that OpenTofu doesn't have? Why should I migrate, right, when IBM is still putting effort into Terraform? And I think the reality is it's clear and transparent the direction OpenTofu is going, right? The community, via various mechanisms, votes on what issues matter, right? And of course, client-side encryption was the number one issue everybody had wanted for years. And so no surprise, the outpouring of support and joy when that was released with 1.7.
Was it number one or number two? I'm not sure.
My memory says it was number one, but I don't have the numbers in front of me. Don't quote me on that. But by and large, like, there is a mechanism for the community to push the direction of Tofu. And so let's hypothetically play the scenario out. Terraform 1.9 introduces some capability in the language that it turns out everybody wants and OpenTofu doesn't have. Well, there's a mechanism for OpenTofu to develop something similar, right? An issue will be created on the repository that there'll be a discussion. People will vote on it. It'll rise in the rankings. And then, the community of engineers, many of which are, will work on it. And you can almost guarantee that it's going to show up not too long thereafter. So you have that confidence with the open source tool and because of that transparency, that understanding of how things are built. So I think it's inevitable. Companies like Oracle and anybody else who is bundling Terraform, with the business source license, if you're in any way, shape, or form competing with HashiCorp and potentially competing with IBM, there's some lack of clarity there.
Big question. Yeah.
Yeah. There's questions about, what license do you need from them in order to continue using their product? And you can ask and hopefully get answers to that questions, or you can switch to OpenTofu and have no anxiety. And so I think that's a winning proposition for many people. And I think we're seeing that play out.
I could not agree more. And Zach, I think we're kind of out of time. I want to thank you for a very deep, mature, friendly, community-driven kind of conversation. we had today. I'm again super proud and happy to see the great achievements of grant work in any direction and how it helps the technology move forward in the right direction. So thank you, Zach. Thank you, grant work, for amazing work and contribution. Anything you want to say to our audience?
Thank you again for having me. It's great to see the cooperation between all of our companies on this project that is so important to what we all do. And looking forward to continuing to evolve the state of the art and build the future of DevOps. So thank you for having me today.
Thank you, Zach. And thank everybody for listening today. Have a great day.